I've said it before. I got the jail from
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gordon. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
I'll be done with AV work in a little while.
We need to hit start video. Oh, there he is.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Hey, Eric, good morning.
Do you know this guy?
Yeah, he looks familiar.
I'm going to be up here Wednesday. I'm going to be judging.
Can you hear the? Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, you're coming through loud and clear.
Okay. Our problem is we can't seem to get your audio or the computer audio into the room, so no one's going to be able to hear you, unfortunately. Okay.
We'll
try one more thing, but
I don't think
technology is beating us down here pretty good today.
I don't think I have anything profound to say anyway. So.
Say it one more time.
I don't think I have anything profound to say anyways. So
well, I'll be able to hear you at the very least.
She just started asking.
Just one more time. All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're coming through loud and clear.
All right. I can't think of anything else to try this morning to get the audio into the room.
Get my volume for the presentation on your laptop here. You can put the mic next to
it. Not use his camera.
All right. Well, I'm glad to be back together here in the summertime in July. We took off last year in July, so all the times we come together here, it's certainly a special time, and it's time for me to reset there. So. When the summer is going, I did a really fun summer myself. I missed out on some Sundays, baseball and coaching. That's been really fun. It's something First Sunday of my life that I've been able to enjoy. Let me just open this up in prayer, and we can have a wonderful meal, then get the program kicked off. So, Heavenly Father, you have just so many special things that we're just so thankful for, and especially in the summer, to be doing fun things and going on vacations. For me, Lord, when we come together here as a group of men, provides reset, it provides reprioritization for your will, your mission, and help me to remove all those distractions and prioritize and bless this food that's been so wonderfully prepared in your service. In Christ, amen.
Amen.
Goddamn, you back, sir.
I want to hear about your trip.
I like to do cat. Yes, I like to work on coming when you say it, talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to schedule some time with you, Mitch. I know I said I was going to get back with you and developing the right format. There's a lot smarter people on figuring the right presentation template.
I'm going to talk about my trip in Africa.
Oh,
and he's been in Africa several trips.
Okay. Dan. Oh, I'm sorry.
Dan, you were on video last month.
I think
I remember seeing you, but I think it was in the Hollywood Square.
That is correct. Yeah, thanks so much, Dan.
Mitchell and I met at the Y, and he invited me. As it turned out, it was dinner. You know,
we're
going to come to this. And then, yeah. I guess I missed. We didn't see each other anyway. We finally met again, and that was the day
before. Yeah. I don't think
we're speak. Were you there?
At for the men's dinner? Yes, absolutely.
You know that speaker?
Absolutely.
I mean, it was like he was talking to me, you know. It was a nonsense thing. Anyway, there are no coincidences.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it really was. It's like, and then another friend I haven't seen in a while goes up here at that same time, and he's not a member of the church. Someone brought him.
No, there's problems in there.
It was just one of those
evenings. It's a strange thing, Bobby. At this point, at least I know what
that message is so wonderful. But really living the legacy and just seeing the life. Ben, where are you from?
I've been down here for 40 years.
Oh, okay, wonderful. So you live local?
I'm from Milwaukee. Yeah, but I work with the administration.
Looks like Scott's going to join us.
I heard the CPC after that. That's why I'm pretty sure everybody's doing a lot of injuries.
Wow.
All right, this is the best I can do.
Well, that's good. I'm not the only one on Zoom then.
You're going to camp? I'm going for the first time.
Hey, Scott, where are you today?
I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
I am just not hearing very well.
That's pretty exciting. That sounds better than the car.
All right, well, we'll work it out when we need to work it out.
It's in December. That's the time to go. Then it's summer. They're actually getting a whole weather.
Main thing is you're coming through nice and clear, Eric.
They were complaining about that.
All right, I'm going to grab some coffee.
Yep.
Maybe a little breakfast. I'll point you at the room so you got something to look at other than me.
In Botswana, that's right. Yeah, some of that money actually goes in the end of the book.
Dan, it sounds like you have a lot of experience over in South Africa.
I got friends. Oh, I got retired, so I haven't been back, but I want to.
It's not long. Yes, I'm enjoying it.
That's really me. Well, have you back again. I'm glad we didn't scare you away.
Likewise, yeah. Pleasure we met.
Pretty doing well.
The very first day was so attractive that I thought, boy, it's usually out by year for 2-3 months in advance. Maybe you watch it and see which one I'm going already that flight, and it was like $900 more what I did. She has a small loading. I only paid like 18, 50, 60, 70.
A lot of problems, you know, I'm getting a lot of
Just outside of them.
They yeah.
Yes, I don't know what else to do, but I'm not going to switch over. So you didn't plug in this sound system.
You're agreeing about that.
Once a month, they can. All right.
Gentlemen, I'm going ahead and kick this off again. Welcome back to our July Men's Breakfast Series. All right, so I really find this as a time as a reset for me. I mentioned that a little bit in my opening there a moment. I think for me, what's been special this summer is I coach my son's baseball team. So he just turned on that 9U travel team and all this sort of stuff. And maybe you have a grandson or whatever, a nephew or somebody that's been part of baseball. But for me, in our family, it's a sports family and we grew up playing sports. So it's a very finite, special time. My son was able to win a couple of baseball tournaments, came in second. And these are all weekend events, getting packed up with a bunch of gear, almost like you're going to the beach, but you're actually going to baseball fields for a Saturday and Sunday morning. There's instances where maybe there's some games where we get seated at 12 o'clock. So we get them in the church clothes and we get the bag ready or baseball clothes. We bring the duffel bag into the church and then we hustle in the bathroom, get changed up real quick. We make it a priority. But for us, it's a great way to witness to teammates, the other whatever kids in the church that, yeah, we can do both. We can play baseball, we can go serve the Lord in the morning and hustle to a baseball field and try to make it all happen. Nonetheless, we do try to make with our children the priorities of here coming to church. And that's something I recall growing up as well. My parents would do a similar exercise. So I've missed out on some Sunday mornings and missing seeing you some of y'all have been. It's really been 3 months since I've been back up here at the same podium for our men's breakfast. And just going back, we had our men's dinner in May. In June, I was traveling. So 3 months later. So it feels like it's been a little while for me to connect and to be back here with y'all. So for today, we are going to mix it up a little bit. We don't necessarily have one of our normal speakers. What is a priority, certainly, is our Commons project. And Jim's no stranger to giving us updates. So Jim's going to go a little bit deeper here in the progress of all the things happening in our Commons project. It's easy now. We get some nice sunlight so we can look out there and see the progress each week. So before Jim comes up, I did just want to ask, though, if there are any other announcements, any other things going on, anything special in your summer vacations or whatever you've been doing and maybe being out and about with whatever you may be doing. Eric.
I got two things.
There we go.
Mary, my daughter, will be giving her update in Chapel Roswell, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, Sunday after, the 23rd.
Love it.
The 23rd. And then the week after that will be Michael Cromwell's last worship service with us. And there will be, I don't know where the reception will be, probably in this room or in the fellowship hall. And that will be the 30th.
That's it. Appreciate that, Eric. Anything else? All right. And Bob, I'd be remiss if I didn't say hello on the big screen there. How's things in Michigan?
You're muted, Bob.
Oh, well.
Don't let your wife know it's that easy.
There we go. Now I'm unmuted.
There you go.
Yeah, we won't talk about audio technical things here on this breakfast. That's enough.
Oh, no. I don't have anything profound to say anyway.
Okay. All right. So Jim, why don't you come up here and give us an update?
Hey. Good morning. Have you walked by it lately? Sunday, you probably got a chance to see a little of it. I had a chance on Tuesday to walk the sidewalk. Not been able to do that because the site's closed and, you know, insurance and all that kind of stuff. But we had a chance to walk that. We've got an event coming up here on the 13th of August. It's the Back to Church, Back to School Sunday. And there's a, there's going to be a bouncy thing out in the parking lot. And there'll be barbecue, I think. And there'll be some entertainment. It's a really big deal, annual thing. Well, at that point, we're done. The only thing that won't be done is the sod will not be grounded well enough for us to walk on it. So to be able to halfway through it and be able to experience it, really get a chance to see what it's like. Because it's tough to visualize things from pretty pictures and from partially done brown dirt, red dirt, actually, since here in Georgia. But if you walk out there, I think you'll get a chance to see. The sidewalks are almost all complete. They're about 80% done on the project, almost 80% in there's rock wall on the side of all the sidewalk, seat wall, and all the lighting, power poles are in. We're going to have 13 lights out there, street lights kind of things. It's going to look really, really sharp. So the sod should be down. Everything should be squared away when we have this event on the 13th. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to review some of this. Now, how many of you were at the men's dinner? Most of you are at the men's dinner. Okay. So we had just developed for that this video, which they've been showing before service. You probably noticed that if you're in a church service before it starts. And so we're going to see that. But I've got an updated PowerPoint that's got some more information in it too for you. And hopefully I'll be able to answer whatever questions you've got. So let's get started.
All right. We hope this will be loud enough, but just listen in.
Commons Project is a finishing of a purchase we made on property a long time ago. So it was the foresight of our leadership back in those days was such that we're in a position now to really take advantage of that purchase.
The Commons Project is a conversion of the core of our campus, an area where we had the old scout hut, random trees, some grass, into a planned space for the community. for our church. It increases visibility across our campus and increases connectivity among the Dodd, the sanctuary building, and the chapel building.
This is the project we've been working on since 2019 and really got going with it in 2020. It was an open space, and we could do some activities there, but it had some built-in problems. It's about a five-foot drop from the western side to the eastern side, and people couldn't get from one to the other.
As part of the Commons Project, we're required to build an underground stormwater detention system. That's actually comprised about 10% or a little bit more of the cost of the project. We've also moved the pavilion from its prior location at the south end of the Commons area to the northwest corner of our area at Pratt Street and Thomas Street.
The real heavy duty work, the burying of a lot of water management things, that sort of thing took place already. So that really heavy lifting's been done. Most of what we're doing now is the finish work on the sidewalk and on the seat walls. And then of course, landscaping will come last.
This was a big thing. It's like watching paint dry. You can only go 1 mile an hour across the site.
You don't need to come in the building to see that something's happening, that it's not the status quo. This is not just a gorgeous space, it's a space that opens up the church for people to look at it in a different way. We really need to see the whole of the campus as the church, and this is a hub that you can see the whole of the campus, and it will draw us together.
The statement that we're making through this project is we're not looking back anymore. We have a vision for the future. It's a clear vision. It's an exciting vision. And I think that's going to be a compelling statement that we're making to all those different groups of people.
Well, I think Todd and his group did a great job putting that together. We gave him illustrations and pictures, and he put it all together and did the interviews. He did a great job. And now with that, you can see more completed things, but of course you'll see more of it. All right, we're going to walk through this, through some slides. This, of course, was the aerial photograph of what we started with. There's a green patch. And it's fun when you think about all the things that have taken place out there in the last 6 months, because this started in February, basically. And with everything going the way we hope it's going to go, it's going to be squared away in August. Go ahead. So this is the way it will look in a plan view, and you'll start to see those paths. Like I said, I had a chance to walk them. The other thing, when you can't visualize it, if you're standing up in the north parking lot looking back, you just can't see that those sidewalks are angled. It's such a low degree. It's like a 3.5 or 4% angle. So you've got anybody, know anybody that's disabled, or if you have trouble, know anybody in a wheelchair, it's a really slight angle to be able to go all the way around that and negotiate a 5 foot drop. Think about that. It's a big drop, you know. And there's steps in different areas, but both of these curved areas started grade and finish here, both of them on both sides. So, and over that span, it's pretty impressive. You have to get out there and see what it's like. Go ahead. Of course, the Scout Hut, and that's, we ate it. Next slide, you can see. The days that we were tearing it down was pretty fun to watch that thing go down into the ground. And of course, that's the site of the activity area where we have an event out there. We can put a big tent, we can have barbecue, or we could have a wedding reception. In fact, we're already getting inquiries from couples because they know it's coming. So. And they always plan those things in advance. There's a bird's eye view from above the sanctuary. This area is already bricked in, so you can see that. If you walk around, you'll be able to see it. This is what I was talking about. That's the choir area. Be able to put seating in there to be able to have that. This is the activity area over there. And of course, moving the pavilion was a really big deal. The Fagan family is very happy with that because it didn't have a lot of visibility. It also was deteriorating, but we didn't know how much until we moved it. Now it has a Trex deck, all new deck. About the only thing that is still the same in it is the roof and the roof structure underneath it. It's got new columns. It's got its own undercarriage or support underneath it. Had to have that to be able to be moved. Okay. There's a view now standing, viewing down at the activity area. That would be where the scout hut was. This is the interior. They're already starting to do this brickwork in there. And this has got handicapped access, all these areas so that you can push a cart with food and stuff on it from the kitchen across and into this area and not pour in this area without having to try and negotiate steps with a cart and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of time was spent. Go ahead. You start to get the feel for the paths here, but of course you'll see more of it today if you go out and look. And there's the relocated. All right. Go ahead. All right, this is the previous location of the pavilion. I worked on the design of the pavilion, so kind of familiar with that thing when we first put it together. You can see it's down in a hole, and it was not easy to access. And it had a memorial next to it that nobody could see or read because it got overgrown, discolored. And that got moved too, and they're about ready to set that. Probably this week, that'll be set. And there's the rig that it took to move it. And it took, look at all these dollies they had underneath it, and to put structure underneath it and set up these wheels and pull it out. He said he'd have it done today. It took four. Right. Who's counting? Go ahead. There's the new location. The renderings got more and more realistic as we were going along. And I think the landscape architect really got into the project and didn't charge us much for these. The initial batch of 24 were free. And of course, some of the revisions cost a little bit. Go ahead. Make it see that area again and see how the path comes up, and both paths end at this level. So they come up to this level. There's the seating. This is what is known as a seat wall. There's one at this level, and there's one at that level. And there's a whole bunch of landscaping, and we'll talk about that a little bit later too. Go ahead. All right, there's the old, that's the bird's eye view from the corner. Pavilion's already in place. None of the landscape, none of the plantings are in yet. Go ahead. This is nice. There is no entrance to that, formal entrance anyway, to the commons from Brad Street, but there will be now. And that's going to be a really nice accent. There's a thing called cheek wall lights in all the stairwells. So if you get to a stairwell, there'll be lights on the steps on the sides of the wall. So a lot of visibility. There's electrical outlets in the wall in a lot of places. So if you have to be out there with a laptop.
Is there a sound system hidden someplace that we know about?
Yeah. Not only that, there's going to be other things going on, but there's access. There's 19 streetlights in this complex. And they're not out in the middle of the field where you can play soccer and run into a light pole. But they're all strategically positioned. So go ahead.
Yeah.
Let me go back.
Is this entrance from the parking lot? Is that where that arch is?
That's across from the dot. It's across from the dot. On Pratt Street.
So it's up on the north end.
But we have one, of course, coming right out of the east narthex entrance into the sanctuary. We're back here. We go back a couple slides. All right, this.
Yes.
There we are, right there. Yeah. You got this, and you come right in here, and you can push a cart through there or over here. So those are the multiple access points. And then this is, that's the entrance on Pratt Street.
Good.
So it'll have more visibility and access than it has before. Go ahead.
Notice that all the illustrations, there are no handrails by any of the stairs.
Oh, they're handrails, trust me. There has to be handrails. Not only that, there's handrails on any wall area where there's a wall if there's more than an 18-inch drop.
That's requirement.
Okay.
Now the handrails, if you wonder what they look like, if you, after the ceremony here this morning, you walk out and look at the railing that runs all the way around, that's a pipe railing with vertical pipes. That's the same railing that's going to be used everywhere. All be refinished, but it's the same one. It's consistent. It also meets code. It's got the thing so far apart, can't put a kid's head in there. 4 inches, this is standard.
Okay.
But just jump in and ask questions if you have any. Feel it. Please feel free to do it. Okay. That's good. All right. So we've got multiple gathering areas with wall seating. So, and every one of these curved areas has a seat wall so that you can have a small group right there if you want to. And that's something we didn't have. And we haven't had, we'd have to make some setup every time we went out there. Some of you will remember when we came back to church, we couldn't come back in the church. We had services outside, remember that? And we had set up all the chairs. We didn't have a place for a lot of things, but with this now, if we had to do that, we have a place we could do that pretty easily. And we have hard surface where we could do a smaller surface up in that activity area as well. So I have a raised performance area for concerts. That's that brick area behind the pulpit. We have a step-free pathway connection. And that's a big deal. We heard a lot of it about that from people that have disabilities and have difficulties with walkers and wheelchairs. Landscape perimeter path, and that could be used by walkers and strollers. The renovated and relocated pavilion has already been set up, as you can see, much better visibility and access. Big spaces for exterior meeting areas, group and small group activities. It now is the hub of the campus. Instead of being a green spot, which is nice that we had a green spot, now it's where everybody can go and see. Of course, you couldn't see the sanctuary as you came down the driveway before. We all knew that because of the scout hut, and you've got that visibility. You also have the visibility of the sanctuary as you come down Pratt Street. We didn't have that before because of trees and so on. So that's going to be good. And I think people now, when they come around the corner, and they still do that, they'll be able to see in here, and the trees will not be blocking your view of the facility. So we'll have visibility of the whole campus. It kind of ties the whole thing together. Go ahead. So we talk about fundraising. We started out in 22 and we had dinners and we invited certain people that expressed interest in making a donation. And we were able to underwrite over a period of time about half of what we needed. The project's a $2.2 million project and we got about a little over $1 million. And now it's up around $1.3 million. So we set it up originally as a two-phase project. You may remember this. The first phase was we're going to do the site. The second phase, we're going to build the building. Well, and we did all the cost estimating, engineering drawings, architectural drawings, got the permits, or at least got the approvals for the whole project. And because you have to do that. And then we were able to, you know, once we got our numbers back in, preliminary numbers were 5.5 and the final numbers, because COVID took place in there, wound up being 7.6. So that right away caused us to have a very quick reaction that we weren't going to build the building. You know, maybe we'll someday, but at this point we had everything set to be able to build everything but the building. And that's what we've done. We've done the water things, which we had to do no matter what, and we're going to have the whole site done exactly the way we had planned it. And if we ever do get a chance to do the building, it can be built from the corner of the site and not tear up anything that we did, which is very important. So it's been planned. If it can be done someday, then we'll do it. So phase one, and it'll be complete. Go ahead. So by reducing the scope of work, everything but the building, we reduced the cost of the project from about 5.5, which jumped up higher to 2.2 million. And as of last month, $916,000 has been received. That's cash in hand. That's not pledging money. And then we have another $322,000, almost 23,000 that's been pledged. And some of it will be this year and some of it will be next year because it was a three-year plan. So that's kind of how it's been stretched out. And those all as a result of those initial dinners and some donation after that. And we update these numbers weekly, and it is something to stay up to date with. What we'd like to do, really would like to do, and I think now that the project's going to be completed in August, and you'll have a chance to see it, we'd like to finish paying for this thing this year. And I think we can do it. We've got over half the money, and it won't be a big push, but we can't have it conflict with our regular pledging activity, which will start in September, October, November, and as a traditional thing. You can't have two things going at the same time. Everybody gets upset, and it's not only that, everybody gets confused. Well, I gotta do it. So we're trying our best, and we were careful. We didn't do things at Easter. We didn't do things at Christmas. So now is the time. And that's why we're talking today. Go ahead. So we get frequently asked questions, and you can come up with more because, you know, we don't have all the questions. Hopefully have all the answers. Is a classroom building? No. So the building's not in it. It's everything but the building. When will it be done? We're actually a little ahead of schedule. We think it's going to be put in together the first week in August, but we're not telling anybody anything other than the 13th. Because that'll be the day that you'll be able to see it and walk it. You just won't be able to walk on the grass. Okay? Go ahead. Sorry. My advancement is retarded, but sorry. So $2.2 million, we're 75% complete. We're within budget. That's important. Everybody needs to understand that. And that we set up a budget and contingencies, and it was all really, really well laid out. And we're watching our contingencies because there's always change orders. All this kind of stuff happens. Some things you can change, some things you can't. That's the reason why you build in that contingency. Go ahead. How much has been donated? We just highlighted it. Basically, in order to complete this, this is a magic number. We need $960,000. That's what we need to have to get it completely paid for this year. Now, we still have some pledges coming in next year. So, you know, it can be a little flexible on that, but do we have a mortgage? No, we don't have a mortgage. This was completely separate from the normal church financing. It's its own life. And we have a simple interest only credit line of $1.5 million for more than what we think we might need in case something happened. We're not obligated to pay that. It's just, that's what the ceiling is. It's at 6.07%, which they regret giving us already, but that's what it is. And it's fixed for 3 years. And we've used $210,000 of it. So we've used our cash, we've used what we had, and we're now starting to dip into that. Now it's, again, we only pay interest on the amount borrowed. We had a couple questions earlier about that. So it's not on a schedule of payment, okay? As pledges come in and become cash, they go directly to the credit line. So you only pay interest on the money that you continue to owe. If you pay it down, then there's no interest on it that gets paid off. So interest payments have been calculated within the terms of our credit line. So we're actually paying our own interest inside the credit line itself. It's not a separate note that has to go anywhere. So there'll be no impact at all on church budget if we're able to fully fund the Commons project. And that's what we hope to do, and not have any impact at all on the church budget. That just answers this. The donations keep coming in, it's captured within the Commons project itself. The objective of the second wave of the Common, that's what we're into, is to pay it off in 2023 to avoid any carryover, which would be paid for by outstanding pledges, but the dollar amount is 960. Go ahead. So why are we doing this now? We've talked about this for 3 years, but hope is a new door, inviting people into the community, Christ and our neighbors. It'll be accessible, inviting, and unify our campus. It becomes the hub, becomes the courtyard, becomes the square, the middle of the campus. Increases outdoor meeting space for children, youth, seniors, and families from our community. And the visual impact and accessibility will reinforce our being a place of community and faith for all. We've also had inquiries from the town. You know about this ice cream social thing that keeps moving? Mm-hmm. Well, they want to be here next year. And that generates so much traffic. They used to have it at the square until it couldn't fit in the square anymore. And then they had it at one of the other churches and it couldn't fit there. And so anyway, they're already talking to us about that. And I think that'll be a big plus for us. The highlights are the step-free walkways around the green space, level grass area for special events, receptions, multiple gathering areas with wall seating, raised performance area, and relocated. We highlighted those before. Go ahead. So what can you do to help us pay for this thing? What is it that you personally can do? Make a donation. That's why those envelopes are on your desk, on your table set. Consider $2,500. That sounds like a lot of money. There's a number of people in this room that have donated much more than that, and I'm one of them. So there's not a member of the committee that didn't make a big contribution. Well, it's relatively big, but anyway. It's an investment of the future of our UMC, confirming our commitment to be a strong place of community and faith. This is going to be really important to you. And if you think this through, on the 13th, make a point to walk through this space, because once you've been in it, you're going to be sorry if you're not part of it. Really, it's that big a deal. It really is an important thing. So you want to have an attachment to it, I think. And then you've probably heard a little bit about this. This really only applies to those of us that are at least 70 and a half, but at 70 and a half, the government decides they want your money back. You put paid taxes on it to put it away so you'd have it. Now they want it back. And they get to change it every year, and it gets worse. So there's only a couple ways around it. And one way around it is, and a lot of us have done this, you have to take a certain amount out and you get taxed at whatever rate you're at. You can avoid the tax if you donate it to RUMC. If not all of it, a part of it. So think about that. I mean, who would you rather give it to, Biden or RUMC? So please, not expecting checks to be written, but please take one of the cards, one of the envelopes with you today and think about it. The time to do it, of course, would be as soon as you can, but if you could have something ready for the 13th, that would be great, because then everybody would be walking the space and familiar with it and will develop an appreciation. There's a lot of people that can make a decision based on a vision of what's going to be, but not everybody can do that. And they need to see, it's something that Malone used to say. I don't want the pie in the sky. Maybe you'll remember this. I want the ham where I am. and it was great. I mean, he really says it. I mean, it's, that's a person that believes in what they see and can hold in their hands. So hopefully, once you have a chance to walk through the space, you'll be able to appreciate all the thought and effort that went into it and all the different groups that are going to benefit from it. Because it's not a playground for lost dogs. It's a lot more things. Okay. And the committee, you know, we appreciate. Now, we know there's not a lot of people that have made donations already, so we're not trying to double dip here. But there are people that haven't. And we're trying to make it clear that it's something we really need to have everybody get involved in. I think a great tie into that Mintz speech. I love that Mintz, that guy's dinner speech, where he said, I'm not a fan. Remember that? I'm going. He says, no, I'm not a fan. I'm a follower. Well, in this situation, we have a team that have built this thing. And we don't want people in the bleachers. We really want everybody on the team. That's what we're looking for.
Okay.
That's my pitch. But I'm sure if you got questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them. This is, you know, an event that took place and started during COVID. And no churches were doing anything during COVID. So we have been a prime mover in, you know, our district and getting things done. And we're going to have a lot of representation when we do. This will not be the grand opening. We're going to have a separate event for that that's focused on just that. But we're going to have a lot of dignitaries out for it. So that'll be good. I saw a hand over there.
Have contributions to the Commons Project either affected the normal contributions to RUMC, or are you worried about that? Where people?
Well, that's the reason why we don't have the two programs currently, and it has not had an effect. But they are run separate times of the year, so that we don't get into that. Otherwise, you would have, you know, one starting to eat into the other. You have the same problems with missions, right? A couple of years ago, we had a double campaign at the same time, and the amount of money dropped way off because, you know, what do? You know, it's one or the other kind of thing. So, no, it's a separate deal. And that's why it had its own budget, didn't get involved in the church budgets, didn't take anything away from any of the other programs that were involved. That's a good question. It's a common question.
But, Jim, haven't we been pretty successful in accomplishing that? It seems to me that we have.
Well, we've worked hard to keep them separate.
Yeah, and it's working. And to me, that's really sorry. We owe you thanks.
Well, it's a long-term project, as you can see, and there's all kinds of things involved in approvals in the city and being in the historic district. There's just a lot of stuff involved in making it come off. But when it's open, you're going to really like it. Sir?
I don't have a question, Jim, but I do have a comment. The comment is this. I personally have had an investment in that piece of ground for almost a quarter of a century because I was involved in the group that made it possible to buy that property. And I have the first thing to say is that I commend Jim and Richard Blumenthal for having been sturdy and stout and strong through the worst time America has ever experienced. And I have to say, this church, of all the churches in Georgia, was the first church to address COVID. We were one of the first churches to be open. We were one of the first churches to be safe because of their work. And so we need to support, if nothing else, the fact that the trustees over the last half dozen years have kept this business alive. And I say business because we are, you may not realize, this is a $60 million piece of property. That's what we insure it for. And it can be more than what it is, just an investment. And that's what the commons represent, is being more. I don't care what the Methodist Church does. I care what this church does. And it took a lot of personal investment in terms of time on my part and on the trustees' part. So that's one investment that you can't overlook. And that's why I commend them for keeping us alive for the last few years. We need to be proud of that, but I had something else we need to be proud of. Do you remember coming onto this property, what your first view was? It was a rusty trailer that sat right out there. What was the second view? An old dilapidated building right next to it that caused you to forget that there was a beautiful sanctuary in the valley. And people that came onto this property never knew the extent, the depth, the complexity, and the amount of buildings. We've got 15 buildings on this piece of campus. And so all of those have been kept up. Some of them go, we have one piece of property that predates the Civil War. And those are the things that the trustees have been keeping together for us. And so, A, I think we need to pledge pretty good support for the trustees to begin with. And secondly, I can't think of a project that has been more meaningful for us since the building of that sanctuary down there that will pull us together and make us one church. We are visibly now one campus. We are physically together. We need to be mentally together. And that's the other thing that that piece of common ground can do. Because there's a group over there in the Dodd. There's a group up here in the chapel. There's a group down there in two different services with two different congregations. And we need to be gathered together. And that, I think, is a statement of vision that we are now on common ground. We are together. And we have that togetherness in a community that is fondly recognizing that Roswell is a significant component of Roswell. And we have won a battle that's been going on since the days of Malone with the city of Roswell. And we're working together for the first time. And so this Hummer is bigger than all of us. And I think every one of us needs to have both a mental and a financial involvement in the process. And so I urge you to do your yeoman's work, just like the trustees have in the last 4 or 5 years. I commend the project to you. Open your wallets and make this thing happen. We did that in the decision meeting to buy that property, to make it happen. The congregation in the room bought the property before we left the room. Let's do it again.
It's amazing what $50 will do, Barney. Thank you very much. We appreciate you. Thank you for your support. He's a very knowledgeable guy, and he's really been a big help.
Oh, if there's more.
Other questions? Sure.
Is there a group of people who are working to make sure we properly use the property once it's ready?
I could take you upstairs right now in the end conference room, and they've got two whiteboards completely covered with events already in process. They're not fully scheduled yet, but these are activities set up to be done in that area. So
who is heading up that?
Well, it's a whole bunch of people, different departments that are involved in it, but Todd is very much involved in it. And what we really need here, and I've said it since we first started here, to make this thing really work, we need an event planner.
Yes.
Anybody that's ever worked with a professional event planner, they can pull things out of the woodwork like you wouldn't believe, and have these be paid activities too. So I think we're going to get to that. We can't make that commitment right now. It's a shared responsibility. Susan's very good at that. She's extremely good at it. She has some other, everybody here's got other responsibilities. So it's kind of a shirt tail operation. But once this thing is up, I hope we'll be able to justify an event planner that can spend most of their time doing it.
Yeah, there are a lot of magazines that are published with the name Roswell on.
Sure.
And they always list events. And we're conspicuous
in our absence. Because we really didn't have a place that we could do it. Now that we're going to have a place to do it, there'd be no reason.
But even the things we were doing, concerts and that kind of thing, never seemed to make those publications. And that is great advertising.
Sure. I think that's a great idea. That's something we can talk about. You know, got a representative of the choir here, and so you can talk about that part of it as well. Thank you.
You mentioned buildings. What explain buildings?
that we're not doing right now.
Well, there's a 6,000, actually 6,600 square foot building that was designed into the property in this corner.
Okay.
And it's fully architecturally designed and approved by the town. The only thing that isn't approved, and that's from us, was the cost of building it.
Yeah.
And the only way that it could get built is if the building material costs come way down. They've come down some, but not to come down a whole lot. I mean, the difference there is $2 million difference in material costs. And if we had some really big donations, otherwise we're gonna have what we have, we're gonna enjoy what we've got, and you know, maybe there'll be a time down the road. But that's
what's the building for?
That's classroom buildings. And we have, you know, we've been able to make do. We have big buildings that not every square inch was utilized in, and we're moving people around. But we got things going on. You probably heard Tom say this before. We are the only church in our district that's growing. The only church. And we've been able to pull members in from other churches that have been struggling. We have we've got new groups. There's a whole new Sunday school class for young parents. And inside of about 3 weeks, it went from 4 couples to 40, and it's still growing. And that's our future. That really is our future. That's where we were, you know, right? That's what we did years ago. And we kind of forgot about them, or they just didn't find us. Now we've got a place that draws kids. I mean, the daycare, you know, school that we have here, they're in that area before this was built. They were there every day, every single day. So they're going to be all over that. Okay.
Any other? The second phase also has the non-step walkways.
Covered walkways built onto the building.
To get from here to the sanctuary.
Right.
And that second phase, right?
Well, you have it through the complex.
Okay.
It got all the ramps, everything you need between the two buildings. What you don't have is a straight shot.
Got it.
And we'll have a straight shot, but we built it into the building.
Just to echo what Marty said, I think it's impressive what our UMC has been able to do while the North Georgia Conference is falling apart. Mount Bethel has collapsed. Those kind of things. We've lost almost 100 churches out of North Georgia Conference.
Well, one thing you need to remember, I grabbed on to number two, but in a normal year, 50 go away. In a normal year. And that's just the way things are. So, yeah, it was bad, but it's not as bad as you might have thought when you see the 100. If you think about all the other things that happened during COVID and how many people dropped away, how many of our members don't come back to church? Hopefully, they're online because we've got a lot of attendance that way. But I appreciate that. We've worked at it.
One final question. People are worried. Did all the Bereans get out of the scout hut before?
Some of them made it in the parking lot. Some of them made it. No. They're, that's a good question. But once. Yeah, they were in the building when it was torn down. So they had to move very quick, though. They're over in the Dodd. They opened up some rooms in there, and I think they have a good space. It's not a new space, but it's not very old. As far as you look at buildings on campus, it's still one of the newest buildings. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Jim, I feel your passion. I feel the passion in the room, and definitely to echo the words in the room, the leadership is so impressive. So thank you, Jim, for all that you do, and certainly to the entire the board there for all the work being done here. So just want to wrap this up here. I did want to share just my daily devotional from yesterday in preparation for this men's breakfast, and it just was meaningful for me, and I really just wanted to share, you know, a few excerpts, bullets from my devotional, and then we'll wrap this up here with prayers and praises and that sort of thing. So yesterday, for July 12th, the title of it is The Question of Calling. It's a couple pages. Whatever you've accumulated is worthless the moment you die. We determine the value of life by holding on to it. And I think certainly for this group, I think we understand some of that kind of basic, you know, accumulating wealth and what does that really mean? It is wise to start doing meaningful things while we still have enough time, energy, and health to do those. The calling is more meaningful than measurable. What matters most is usually not measurable. Our fear of not mattering much can drive us away from what matters most. Calling often begins by partnering rather than pioneering. So many of us just want to go accomplish the world and do this and that and the other. It's very, very difficult. But partnering versus pioneering, that resonated with me. And certainly when I talk with friends about doing things and how you go do things and what can I do to make a difference, that partnering piece was real interesting for me. Calling is always going to be more than about who than with what. My responsibility is to do what I'm called to do, regardless of the outcomes. So what holds you back maybe from moving forward? You know, what resources and skills do I have that are available? So that hit upon me. I think it aligns well with Jim's message and what we want to go achieve here at the church. So in wrapping up prayers, I wanted to certainly go around and make it available. We spoke about the men's dinner. It was so meaningful for so many of us, especially for me. If you may recall our keynote speaker, Matt McGee, he was so incredibly inspirational, so encouraging with his words and being able to go live a legacy. So Matt has been undergoing cancer treatments for a number of months. And I think within this short 2 months, Matt's condition has incredibly just not improved to what was expected. So he is now most comfortably at home, surrounded by his family. So I would ask just for extended prayers and comfort for him, his two sons, his entire family in this time that he has. So he's really gone about finishing his game, his life here. So it's just an incredible inspiration for me for the priorities that he's had, especially when he was diagnosed and the things that he wanted to do and certainly spend time with family, but also continue his mission to speak. And at that time of the men's dinner, there was probably about 6 weeks where he did make a stretch to go speak at various places and very high level events. Not just here at RUMC, but over to Chicago, in churches where he was a senior minister in many other audiences. So you could see his priorities in life, but what he wanted to do. Okay. What other prayer concerns or prayers and praises? So what other prayers are out there that we want to lift up?
My sister's in a end of life situation.
What is her name?
Carol.
Carol. The prayers, praises. All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, may the words spoken today resonate, transform our hearts and minds to glorify you. May you ignite us to live a life, live a legacy into one like heaven. Be with those in our hearts and minds, maybe that we have not said. Be with Carol, be with the family of Matt McGee. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, gentlemen. We'll see you in August.
Donation cards, please. Now you know why I was a fishing shirt.
Bob, we'll see you.
We'll see you soon, Bob.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I'm going to see you.